Welcome, welcome.
This is the Entertainment Answer.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Dedicated to helping you decide what to spend your hard-earned money on at the box office.
I love it. I've got chills.
Looking for the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases? We have the answer for that, too. It's fast, fun, and frolicking.
I feel like I should say something smart.
Welcome to the Entertainment Answer.
Welcome to the Entertainment Answer. I'm Matt Mungle. It is a great time of the year. This is the time where not only is it holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we have Oscar time. We have awards. Everybody's talking about movie awards. You got all the film critics groups. Everybody's just so excited about movies, and we are too. So we're going to talk a lot about movies this time around as it is our December podcast roundtable. Sitting across from me, Mr. Brian Kluger. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. December 1st, I survived Thanksgiving, and I'm happy. I love the holidays.
Those pants look a little tighter.
Yeah, they are a little bit. I almost exploded from eating and drinking too much.
Yeah. Well, tell us who else is with us today.
Oh, well, we got our main man, Dave Curley, doing all the video and audio stuff. Color commentator.
Yes.
We've got Susan Kamyab, the amazing Susan Kamyab from Irving Community Television in thischicksflicks.com. And the incredible, the legendary,
the groundbreaking
Preston Barta from the Denton Record Chronicle and Fresh Fiction.
Man.
Nice. Thank you. It's always good to have us together.
It is. I like this.
We're the brainchild.
Like, we're the brain trust.
Of movies. We are. Well, we are going to break down the December movies because it does seem like that December 1st of January becomes those films that the Oscars go to. That's when. And I don't know, Preston, do you know when that happened? Has it always been that way? Or did it used to get some of the stuff earlier? Or is over the last years, everybody's pushed their really great films to the end of the year?
I feel like this year it's been pushed pretty significantly towards the end of the year because August on, it's been really crazy. But I felt like last year was a little more spread out because we had Grand Budapest Hotel. We had a lot of stuff that in Ex Machina, so a lot of good stuff happened earlier. So this year it feels like a lot of it's been shoved to the end.
Yeah. And even the year Birdman won. Birdman came out like
2 years
August,
ago.
September, two
October
years ago?
That was, or something like that.
Yeah. Was it late too?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but it does. Now it seems like everybody just tries to do it all in 2 months, which I can understand the concept. They want it to be fresh on your mind. Movies that we were raving about in March have slipped off our list.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they slipped off our list because it's out of sight, out of mind, or if it is because the stuff at the end of the year is better.
Yeah. I think it was just like I was saying before we started this. I feel like we see all these really good films right now, and they're fresh in our mind that we completely ignore the ones that we saw earlier. And you have to go back and rewatch the ones that you saw earlier this year to see if they really stand a chance against these new ones.
All right. So, Susan, what's on your December list that I know you've seen a lot of the December movies so far, but what's sure. been the big film for you?
Well, then 20th Century Women, I would definitely say so. That one is definitely going to be in my top 10. A Monster Calls was just surprisingly emotional.
It looks really good.
I think there was not a dry eye in that press screening.
I think we all walked out of there surprised. What was that?
I thought it was going to be a lot more like the BFG kind of feel, just this safe kids movie, and I was like, wow, that... Like, I didn't think it was going to be Oscar material.
Yeah, it was more Julie like Fister, and you thought it was the monster.
Yeah. And La La Land, for sure. That'll be in my top 10 as well. Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, they can make movies together as much as they want because they have incredible chemistry. They're just really likable.
Does Ryan Gosling really sing in there and play?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we know that's him playing?
No, yeah, that is.
Yeah. That's cool. He worked 8 hours a day for like 5 days a week for like a month or so because he wanted to make sure that the pieces he played were real.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that he knew what he
was
doing.
That too, because you can see his hands and then it pans up and it's him.
That's cool.
Yeah, he does a good job. I think everybody... But again, that's a safe movie. I mean...
It is. It's a safe movie. That's the only reason why I can't be like it wouldn't be my number one, but it's so likable.
Charming.
Charming's a good word.
It's the movie we need right now.
So beautiful.
Yeah. It sort of is. And I think Susan, you and I were talking about it. Like, you break down like the best actress category. Sometimes somebody like an Emma Stone will get overlooked because it's not a deep, like dark role.
Doesn't make you cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happy and fun.
And I've heard this before too, like as far as when it's a musical, sometimes the singing gets overlooked as not acting.
Mm-hmm.
That was just when you think back of like Glee, back when Leah Michelle would get nominated for Golden Globes and stuff, like maybe I'm being biased, but like, you know, she's an incredible actress too, but if they're a singer, they don't, they, I don't know. It's
unless
like they
you're
don't
Anne
include
Hathaway,
it.
Too.
Unless you're
right,
Hathaway.
Yeah.
And, but,
yeah. Are you a singer?
No. God, okay. No.
Well, you know, to be taking it from that side of it and to be like, you know, there's some passion in what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's something, you know, like, no one ever paid attention to me.
Well, I'm it's from Glee. That's why I'm a
gotcha.
Little, I'm still a little bitter because I think, I don't understand why you feel bad because, if anything, it's more work sometimes. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And what I think that's what could hurt, like, if I'm assuming Gosling and Stone will get nominated, and I don't see them winning in the acting category.
I had a smile on my face from start to finish through La La Land. Yeah. Like, I just couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah.
Was that the Hennessy you were drinking?
Yes. That was the little pocket drink I had.
Yes. We know
my
you.
My pocket whiskey.
And there's a really good what could have been sequence.
It's the 500 Days of Summer expectations versus reality.
Yeah, totally what I thought of, actually.
Yeah.
And that
there were a couple things
scene.
In this one that kind of reminded me of 500 Days of Summer, a little bit. Not
but
even.
This was way better than that,
oh.
though.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Shut up, bro.
I don't know,
Shut
way
up.
Better.
I don't know
Do you
about
like
that.
500 Days of Summer?
Of course I do.
Oh,
it's
was
amazing.
Good for one
that,
viewing.
No way. That's like my...
That was medicine for
that
me.
That is. I was going to say movie therapy, but yeah, like that is...
Han Solo was in that movie for a second.
Oh,
Harrison Ford,
right?
I was going to go...
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. So so if it came down between, let's say, 20th Century Women and La La Land, I mean, that could be the underdog that kind of, I don't want to say underdog because it's amazing, but I wonder if that's one that's going to slip through.
Which one?
20th Century Women. I wonder if that could overthrow everything else that's on there and take Best Picture. I know it's going to get Best Ensemble. It's going to get some acting
I
nods.
I can see Ensemble.
Writing.
Well, I could even see...
Music for Oscars?
Writing.
Yeah, writing. It's very writing.
Editing. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
With La La Land?
Yeah.
Well, Sully could do editing, too.
No, well,
didn't
editing...
I think the editing
La La Land
Sully
looks
so good.
La La Land just looks
I think
classically shot. It feels like...
Cinematography for La
it,
La
it,
Land.
Yeah, it feels like a... it was just watching the trailer, because I'm not a real critic, so I don't get to go to these things. But just watching the trailer, it had a little bit of that... come on, what was it with Truman Capote wrote it. It was a great movie.
In Cold Blood?
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Capote?
The one that...
To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, come on.
Is it a musical?
Because you know he
Breakfast
wrote
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh.
It kind of had some of that aesthetic to it.
That's
seemed.
What it's trying to do.
Right.
Yeah, it actually reminded me of like Singing in the Rain kind of feel. But...
Yeah, or Casablanca.
Yeah. It's an homage
the way they,
to
Rebel
the
Without a Cause.
The way they pulled the light in these.
Well, they shot
scenes.
It on film because that's the way that they can get all the pull out all those lush colors.
Yeah.
Now, Preston, didn't you tell me that open sequence was one shot?
They try to. There's some blending there from what I've heard. There's like four sequences where kind of like when you watch Birdman, you can say, "Oh, well, that's probably where they could do it."
Right.
There's like certain camera turns that they do where they could blend it a little bit.
Yeah.
Still
most, it was
great
seamless though,
sequence.
Of
La La Land. Mm-hmm. So do you think they actually filmed up on the bridge?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I think that was
crazy.
In fact, that opening sequence would be something I could see them
they didn't
doing
even have
at
to
the,
shut it down.
Parodying
it was just
at
like
the
that,
Oscars.
Yeah, LA traffic.
Oh
sucks.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Be 3 hours and we got it.
It's like, oh yeah, normal LA. Sorry. Thanks for being with us. So now the normal goers, because everybody, I mean, we're in Oscar mode and we're in award mode, but just the average moviegoer going to the box office and laying down their hard-earned cash, I mean, what would be the film to see? Because some people go to
Rogue
the movie
One,
like twice.
Period.
Rogue One, I think, is going to be...
Yeah, hands down. That's why I'm wondering, you know, I understand the theory behind, you know, trying to get the really good meaty stories that can be in the front of mind for... everybody to vote on and all that, and that all makes complete sense. But from a box office standpoint, some people, you know, I mean, I have a family of four, and so even going to a matinee is, you know, $30 just for four tickets.
Yeah.
You know, and then if we want anything to eat or drink, it's another $30 or $40. Mm-hmm. So you don't just go, you know, to five movies, you know, like you used to. So is it smart to, I mean, we saw it with Hateful Eight last year. Abysmal, because you had Force Awakens. Hateful Eight was practically forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Hateful Eight was also really long too.
Yeah, it
very
was.
Long.
Yeah. too long. In fact, but I haven't even finished it yet.
Is it wise? Is it wise?
It's just running in my. Yeah, it's running at home.
You stopped on that snowy mountain scene.
No,
with,
I haven't stopped it. I started it about a year ago.
It's still going.
Yeah, no, I think Rogue One's going to do really well. I think it's. I mean, I don't think it'll do Force Awakens money, but it'll do close
you
to that.
You might be surprised. It has a feel that, just from the aesthetics, it has a feel that is more original trilogy than Force Awakens was. And Force Awakens, shot on film, going back to a lot of practical and stuff, it's still Rogue One has even more of that. And it, like, literally butts up against the crawl of the... Of episode 4, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's I would not be surprised if Rogue One has numbers that are better than Force Awakens.
Maybe. Let's take a small break, come back. We're going to talk some other stuff about December movies, plus get into holiday films as it is coming up on the holidays, and Blu-rays and much more right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. This is The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to The Entertainment Answer. During the break, we were talking about, well, first, is it Shia LaBeouf or Shia LaBeouf?
LaBeouf.
Is it LaBeouf?
LaBeouf.
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 Like LaBeouf.
Sound like something you'd use in the shower. So, and we were just trying to decide if he's made any good decisions since, like, Disturbia.
Holes.
Or...
Holes was good.
Holes was good, but that he was younger than. Movie.
I know, that really wasn't his, older. That wasn't his decision. That was probably his parents'
Brian's
decision.
Brian's favorite nymphomaniac.
Oh, dude. God.
The director's cut?
The
is,
director's cut, the good 5-6-hour one?
The 1 and 2 of the director's cut?
Is that the one that was on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sat through that
Part
whole
1 and 2.
Yeah,
really?
That actually was really good with that movie.
It was interesting. There was some lot of, there was some shock value moments, but it was...
Well, that's the director.
Horrible.
What?
Horrible. I don't know if I'd even call it a film. I don't
it's
know what
It's not
that
a movie.
Was.
It was just...
Did you watch Part 1 and 2?
Yes, unfortunately. Just for Shia LaBeouf, and it was terrible.
Wait, for Shia in the buff.
Yeah.
That's what did it.
The best decision he made was watching all of his movies so we could watch him.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was a good decision. And we're mentioning this because there's a new movie out with him. And
that should not be named.
What is it called?
Is it,
why is it bad?
Why is it bad?
Why is it bad? Because I know a lot of soldiers.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
I haven't. Okay. I haven't had time to see anything. Okay. By the way, the trailer, we're talking about Man Down.
Decent.
Man Down's an
okay. Like, the trailer sells it as this kind of film that's along the same vein as, like, American Sniper, like a more authentic representation, because I don't want to get into the politics of American Sniper, but
right.
There's a short bit into it where it focuses on post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And this is what this film is supposed to be about, because you see shots of him with the beard and like homeless sign
and
everything like
and
that.
And crying as he's beginning to relay the story.
Right.
And
Okay, so come to find out in the first few minutes, it takes place in a post-apocalyptic world, which I was not expecting whatsoever.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
So that threw me for a loop. And then on top of that, there's four different... timelines. So there's that one, post-apocalyptic. There's one of, like, you know, with his wife and kids, and then they have the sit down with Gary Oldman's character, who plays like a military psychiatrist, and then the last one is just like him going through boot camp and then the first days of, like, on the battlefield. And so they have those four different timelines, but none of them, like, when they cut back and forth between them, there's no, like, sense to them. Like, when you're watching, like, Manchester by the Sea, there's, like, a reason why he's having this flashback.
Right.
And there's just nothing that kind of connects them all. There's just, I said in my review, it's like a artistic excuse for bad editing.
Wow.
And so the thing that ultimately makes it bad is the reasoning for the post-apocalyptic segment. And I don't want to reveal what it is, but it's stupid.
Well, why don't you save people, you know, $30?
No.
I could. I also said in my review,
we
like,
have a service.
It's one of those movies that's so bad that you just want to talk about it and spoil it for everybody, because that's what you want to do when you watch something terrible, right. Share its secrets.
Now, that is said, how was Shia in it? Because it seems Shia like if anybody could play it, somebody
Shia is good,
suicidal,
but
it's him.
He cries a lot, but he's very pat.
It's his go-to method. He's really, like, he can do a cry.
He really goes for it, but just the movie does not support him.
Right.
And you know, speaking of what he did that was good, I thought he was good in Fury.
I was just about to say
that's
that.
That's what
Fury is a good choice.
Yeah, Fury is prominent in the movie.
Connor says Fury.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Well, he everybody stunk up American Honey, so he's 0-for-2 this year. So,
but even that, he was really kind of going for
he
it.
He was good in American Honey. Like his honey
that
was
scene in the beginning. I guess he was solid. Yeah, it was just the film was so horrible.
I even said that in the review.
I
was like, the actors stayed committed to their performances. It's not their fault that they were given a horrible script.
Mm-hmm. James like, Cole Clay VII loved him in American Honey, and I forgot he was an iRobot.
iRobot was good. I loved that movie.
Was he the one that didn't know how to cuss?
He was Will Smith's he was Will Smith's like buddy.
So yeah, was he the one that was running around that would try to cuss and he said you can't cuss? Was that him?
Maybe
that was the character.
I don't know. I only watched it once in theaters.
Yes, that was
iRobot's one of my daughter's favorite movies. She loves it.
I liked iRobot.
I did too.
Yeah.
Well, enough about Shia. Let's talk about Jackie because Jackie's really good.
Whoa. Are you serious?
You didn't like Jackie?
No.
Just watching the trailer.
You did?
Watching the trailer and
the
clips.
The movie or her?
It looks like
movie and her.
It looks like Oscar material.
Well, yeah.
Why did you not like it?
I just thought it was very...
Well, I know that you said that you thought her voice was a little annoying for your sake, but...
It was, and I thought they tried to be too artistic with those really big music swells. Like, they try to do some...
That's my favorite score of the year.
Right, for another movie. I don't know if that
I think it goes like hand
neon,
in hand.
Like they try to take the score from like a Neon Demon and make it behind Jackie.
Well, that's what makes it so cool and different, is because as James Cole Clay the VII said, it kind of gives it this like horror vibe to it. Like you feel like you're watching a horror movie.
Yeah, because he's walking around in this dress that's got blood all over it, and she's very almost robotic, which she would be. I mean,
consider what had just happened.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm not taking away from that because I think the writing of the story does seem to stay pretty true to the events that happened with her trying to plan everything and having to move out of the White House and some of the
and
tension
that's
there.
And an interesting layer between like press and like a high figure like that is because she'll reveal all these secrets and then say, you can't run that. Kind of going into that depth of like how she truly feels, her perspective on it was very haunting.
Is it based on
they shot it too? All these like close-ups and just kind of like I don't know, like a fly on the wall approach to it.
Right.
I watched it again.
Is it based on any kind of memoirs or other people's things, or is it just somebody
I don't know,
had an idea?
I kind of question like how historically accurate it is, but I don't think they can. But what's interesting about it is just it kind of gives it that humanistic quality to it where it's. And I think they kind of talk a little bit about that. It's just like when you think of like JFK, you put all these high figures on a pedestal,
right.
And then this kind of movie makes them very human. And
right.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed her perspective of it because living in Dallas, you hear about these stories of JFK, and you've seen so many movies cover it to death. No pun intended. And
I wouldn't have even said that.
It was really unique, her perspective on the story.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to go back and rewatch it now, only because that's shocking to me, because I didn't get any of that. I just got that it was trying to be something that it wasn't. It was trying to combine two different genres and elements, and it just got lost somehow.
Yeah, I said it looked good, and he hit me.
I did. I punched him right in the face. So, all right. So, yeah, Jackie does come out, and that's on a lot of people's lists to see. I know that... our Critics' Choice nominees came out this morning, and
I looked at that.
He got like costume design and something else, I think. But yeah, it's.
I really wonder what costume. Does any movie really have that like obvious? Usually, I feel like costume is pretty obvious, but
I don't know. Live by Night had a good. I think something that fits that really just pulls you into the.
It's gonna be like Harry Potter. The
it's gonna be like Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Love and Friendship. I saw it was on there.
Probably,
so.
Yeah.
That needs some more recognition.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one period piece of shine.
Did you watch that yet? Pride. Kate Beckinsale?
I watched it when it came out earlier this year. I haven't rewatched it, but it was I was kind of bored with it. It was like a Lifetime movie.
I liked
it. Did you like it?
I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I liked it.
Really
too.
Good writing. Okay, so I've gone down on your respect level.
Yeah. No, not at all. I'm just starting to rethink my whole existence. Maybe I'm not watching films correct.
Yeah.
We're talking about December films that come out. A lot of stuff. Collateral Beauty, none of us have seen yet. They haven't screened it for press. They didn't even do it for voting press or anybody.
And I'm honestly skipping it.
Are you? Really?
The trailers look
it
so
looks
bad.
Like,
yeah.
What's the Christmas bait? What's the Oscar bait?
What's the story? Because I mean, over the holidays, I saw the trailer like 20 times or something, and actually... It's like I don't understand what are we talking about?
Well, he's grieving. He's this guy who's grieving. You get from his daughter, and so he writes these letters. I think therapeutically, and he writes them to emotions, and then these emotions. It's almost like if you know Ghost of Christmas Past showing up.
Wait, so he's writing letters to emotions like dear anger, I hate you.
Are just, yeah, some of them, well, just kind of just working through his grief. And okay. then they show up and kind of just walk him through things. So I think it's going to be very, almost like a, I don't know, a Christmas Carol sort of thing. I mean, I think it looks like the perfect Christmas movie where people go and they walk out kind of, you know, it's a wonderful life you find out at the end. So I don't know.
I will see it. I'm not looking forward to it.
I personally, if the Oscar nominations came out and it didn't get nominated for Best Picture, I would skip it. It doesn't appeal to me.
Right.
At all, as far as it looks like it just looks a little cheesy. But
we're over the head.
Will Smith really wants the Oscar.
No, I know he does, and that's why. So I thought.
Are we tired of Will Smith?
No.
I'm not tired of him. I'm tired of like this. I don't want to see a story that looks like it's just gonna try to punch me in the gut, like emotionally, like try too hard.
Is it gonna be more Will Smith sitting there crying and trying to hold back tears, quivering lip?
That's what I feel like it's gonna be, like a bunch of like, oh, this is sad.
Yeah,
I'm sad.
Which is what we want during the holidays.
Like, don't try to tell me what I'm supposed to feel. Let me just feel it.
Yeah. And it's a 90-minute PG-13 drama, which tells me there's probably not a lot of meat on the bone, but. And maybe it started out as something else, but it's got a great cast. And yeah, and the three people he writes to, it's not just emotion. It's love, time, and death.
Gotcha.
Those are the three people.
Helen Mirren plays death, right?
Yeah. So you got, you know, Helen Mirren.
Oh, straight out of Red.
Keira
Knightley.
We saw
her do
Kate
death.
Winslet and Ed Norton and Naomi Harris and Michael
they
Pena.
Off Ed Norton? Where's he been?
Dude.
I'll watch it, though. Like, yeah.
I mean,
it's convenient,
Ed Norton
I'll
signed
watch
on
it.
To it. It's got to be have some kind of...
I love
Ed Norton.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we are going to kind of visit holiday films and get Brian's look at Blu-rays and maybe probably talk about some more December films because it is a big month and it's a big holiday and people do go to the movies. So we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. This is The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to what we call the 4K segment with Mr. 4K Brian Kluger. And he always brings these stack of Blu-rays, and I felt like I was in a poker game because he put down this big stack of Blu-rays, and then Preston comes in and goes all in and raises it.
Yeah, he does.
So between the two, what's hitting the shelves
this
week?
Look at this. Look at this gigantic stack
of stuff.
I'm tempted.
You're tempted.
I am tempted.
Well, I haven't said anything to bug you yet, but I might.
I'm sure you will.
Oh, to knock it over?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do we got, guys? What y'all got to bring?
One movie that I think is all of our favorite movies of the year, Don't Think Twice, comes out on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Next Good. Tuesday. We highly recommend it. It is just Mike Birbiglia, Keegan-Michael
Key.
There's tons of good stuff in this movie. If you're in the arts and entertainment world, if you ever want to do something creative and sacrificed anything to do that, this movie will hit home.
And if you're a 30-year-old struggling,
yes,
still,
yeah. No, it's funny.
Are you
it's
bitter?
Emotional.
A little bit.
It's really good. There's some deleted scenes, some improv stuff, and EPK type things, but it looks and sounds amazing. The Shannara Chronicles, which is kind of like MTV's version of Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, which has promise, but they're not. It's
really?
Not great yet.
Where does it air?
Wait, is it a? Oh, MTV. Is it a reality show?
No. It's
like LARPing.
No, it is like actually done on a really big scale. It's all filmed in New Zealand, and it's based on these series of books that have come out since the 70s.
New Zealand's like the new Canada.
Yeah, it looks really good. There's some really good stuff in here, but they're not quite there yet in the first season, but. It's worth a look if you're interested. Dead Rising Endgame, the video game that's turned into a movie with President Palmer from 24 in it. If you like zombies, give it a
Haysbert,
check.
Dennis Haysbert. One of the
yes.
best voices
or,
around.
Serrano from Major League.
Or he was also in Predator.
Not the original.
No, wasn't. What movie was it that he was a soldier in a helicopter? I'm just picturing him. I could swear that was Predator.
No, he was Jarhead. I remember that. Warner Brothers, Ultra HD 4K stuff. You get Argo, Goodfellas, The Town, and I Am Legend.
Well, I bet I Am Legend looks
what?
Good.
How's Goodfellas?
Goodfellas looks amazing. There's nothing new on really any of these, though, but you get it in 4K. But yeah, Goodfellas looks amazing because they just re-released this like this last year, mm-hmm. like a big edition, but oh my god, it looks good.
Do we know what they shot I Am Legend in? I mean, do you remember?
I don't remember.
If it was shot in 2K or 2.5K?
I doubt it.
I mean, because that was what?
2007?
Yeah, nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what they shot it in.
But it was shot digital. It wasn't shot on film, right?
I'm sure it was digital.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is their Warner Brothers stuff for December.
And Ben Affleck making showing up in two of those four.
Yeah, because there's new movies coming out, Live by Night.
Yeah.
So you got two Affleck movies. And then a couple weeks from now, we'll have the Suicide Squad 4K for you.
There you go.
Nice.
And then Mad Max, another edition of this, the black and chrome edition, which you get to finally see it in black and white.
How does it hold up?
It looks so good, like Fury Road. It looks so good. So I guess this is the way that George Miller really wanted to do it, was in black and white.
Mm.
And you get both on this section. You get the color version and the black and white version. Mm. The black and white. So this one comes with an intro with the director, George Miller, talking about why he thinks this is the best version. I watched it, and black and white version is amazing.
Did he add more grain in that print?
No, he did not, because I thought he was going to, but it looks so good in like...
Because there's so much about that movie that pops with just everything.
I feel like they go hand in hand. I watched it, and there
are
some really great things that you really get from the color. There's some really great things that you get from black and
white. Because
black and white, you start to notice a lot of the details.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Right. It's like only the Wing Channel.
It was interesting. That was really good. What else? Oh, The Secret Life of Pets is out next week. It was an okay movie. The first
just watch the trailer.
Just watch the trailer.
Everything that's funny is in the trailer.
Did Milo like it?
No, we went to the theater with him.
He didn't like it in the screen.
No, he and usually like Zootopia, he did not move the whole time.
Sure.
30 minutes into Secret Life of Pets, and he's like,
"What about Trolls?
I gotta pee.
Ugh.
I'm done.
He didn't like Trolls either.
Really?
And then Preston's got some Blu-rays and movies. Let's pass those down to him.
But Trolls wasn't great. Trolls was just all right.
Trolls should have been done in like 89.
Maybe.
So I guess the new ones that are
when Trolls probably mattered.
When Trolls mattered. Hey, all trolls matter.
Troll Hunter.
Pink Trolls matter.
I think I enjoyed seeing more than I enjoy Secret Life of Pets, though. Also.
Yeah.
But that's probably because of the music. They're just kind of singing songs you know. Mm. So it's kind of nice to like in your head sing along.
Well, then any Adam Sandler movie should be.
I like Wedding the music singer. In Adam Sandler's movie.
Which ones come out?
Well, this past week, which is not December, it was the BFG and Pete's Dragon, which I know you didn't like Pete's Dragon, Brian, but that's fine.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I think they're both.
He didn't enjoy his childhood
films.
Yeah, dude, it was typical Disney, cookie cutter insert dragon here.
But that's another one that I mean, I got emotional from Pete's Dragon.
Yeah,
you just like gigantic monsters and how soft and
I did not get emotional from BFG at all.
But that's what Disney's great at, though. Yeah. They know where to just tap that in.
Well, BFG just makes you smile.
Yeah,
it's just I use Wiz Popper in regular conversations,
And it's getting no buzz, no nominations for anything.
Oh,
not for screenplay or
for visual effects or for BFG. Nothing.
There's
too
much stuff. It's I guess too much competition.
Yeah. But I will say that the commentary track on Pete's Dragon is excellent because it has the two kids and the director, David Lowery, and it's really charming and fun to listen to.
Kids.
I guess for quick, so we talked a little bit about Ben-Hur. I have not watched it yet, but I assume it's okay.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to hold up on the smaller screen.
I guess
because I liked it on the big screen, but I don't know if I would rewatch it.
Yeah, and then we get Florence Foster Jenkins, which I hope get some awards recognition.
Meryl Streep will get an Oscar nomination for her 30th time.
For comedy and even what is it? Wallowitz?
Howard Wallowitz.
Dude, he is so great.
Yeah, he's really good in this.
Yeah, I actually really like that film.
I bet during the Golden Globes they'll get nominated. Like, she'll probably get nominated for the comedy musical and then
the Golden
movie,
Globes
comedy.
Loves her.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
what is the Steven Seagal movie? Because I really am interested.
Where is it? I don't know. It's called End of Gun.
What's the tagline?
Where justice prevails.
but shouldn't like it be Steven Seagal is End of Gun?
What if this is a movie based on the It's Always Sunny action movies they make?
I didn't know that dude was still...
Pick one, you've seen them all.
Was he in any of the Expendable movies? Did he get invited to that party?
He hasn't been invited to the party yet.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Because he's a diva.
I guess.
Yeah, he's more of a diva than Bruce Willis is.
I don't know. So there's a lot of stuff to watch on the Blu-ray.
There is.
If you want to stay home.
Yeah.
During the holidays, a lot of people like to just crash. I mean, we live in Texas. We don't think about being snowed in. People get snowed in.
We get snowed in every
In the end of December, there's usually a lot of big movies come out before the holidays, so you can get those stocking stuffers in.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys used to get Blu-rays for Christmas in your stocking?
Oh, in a stocking? I got it as a present.
I had a little dreidel stocking.
So do you guys share gifts at all? Because I've got a lot of...
They have 8 days of it.
Yeah. It starts late this year. It starts Christmas Eve, since it's going to go to January 1st. So.
What's the rule on that?
It's the Hebrew calendar. It changes every year. It's shorter.
Gotcha. The shorter. So
we do 8 days. We used to when I was younger. We used to do a present a day, basically. But now it's just kind
of
you can.
Was Blu-rays ever part of that?
I mean, Blu-rays have only been out for a few.
Well, you know what I mean.
Years.
Well, Blu-rays that were DVDs movies. That were movies. Just movies in general.
Yeah, I always
laser discs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I always got movies. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
right. And then educational gifts, of course.
Socks, underwear.
Socks.
From your aunt.
A sack full of coins, you know, stuff like that.
Nice. Well, really quick before this segment's over, holiday films, now that we are there, mm-hmm. and there's holiday films, and there's holiday TV specials,
mm-hmm. right.
which kind of go back and forth. So is there a go-to? I mean, like, we watched
Come
Rudolph
on.
The other night. We watched Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie Brown Christmas is like begins
movie
and ends.
Movie or TV?
Either Both. One. Is there a go-to?
I think, like, the very first Simpsons episode, the Santa's Little Helper, that's a Christmas episode. That was really good. They bet on the dog because Bart gets the tattoo and he has to get it removed, so they didn't have any money for... presents, and then they got the dog. It's a very good Christmas episode.
Yeah.
The best Christmas movie ever is still Eyes Wide Shut. Oh, God. You can argue with me, but that is the best Christmas movie.
Really?
It symbolizes Christmas, I think, in a very good way.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
To get a balance of this, let's go to this side of the room. Please.
I like legit Christmas movies.
I do
Thank
too.
You.
Yeah. Like, I guess every year you have to watch Christmas Vacation and White Christmas for us, and then my wife and I have a small one that we like to watch together, Just Friends, with Brian Reynolds.
One with Brian Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah, we enjoy that
Christmas Story.
Love Actually.
That's a good one. Love Actually, that's my wife's go-to.
Yeah. I like to watch Family Stone.
And then we got The Office has the Christmas party.
Yes. Yeah. That's
actually,
a great
the one where they do Yankee Swap. And
yes. That's the iPod where he ends up with his own iPod. Yeah.
That was amazing.
The handmade mitten.
I know.
Oven mitten.
Jim gets that really nice tea kettle with those little notes in it. He's like, oh.
I like it when there's two Santas, when they're going to let Phyllis be Santa this year.
Right.
And Michael's going to do it. And then he calls Kevin over there. Kevin's like, I've never sat on a lap before. I've never been asked what I want for Christmas.
Like, just say what you want.
Yeah. I did, yeah. You just keep talking. Yeah. Keep talking. We're going to come back and let Brian talk about wrestling and stuff like that and other stuff right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. Welcome to The Entertainment Answer.
All right, well, welcome back to our final segment as we're breaking down December films, talking about the holidays. Everybody's festive and light and fun. We even just allow Brian to just talk about things like Eyes Wide Shut, which...
Watch it again. You'll agree with me.
I have watched it again. I've never gotten Christmas from that at all. Talking about putting on masks and doing funny stuff, wrestling is big this time of year.
Yes, there's so much stuff. There's a WWE pay-per-view in Dallas this coming Sunday at American Airlines Center. You could probably still get tickets.
You
to
going?
It. I am definitely
I thought
going.
We were all going.
TLC will be there. The main event is AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose, Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss, basically a steampunk girl and like Harley Quinn battling together. That's the their characters, basically.
Awesome.
And then you have a very small luchador wrestler, like 5'1". But yeah, Baron Corbin is like this 6'9" guy. They're going to go at it. It's going to be crazy. And then December 16th, if you know where the Gas Monkey Live is off of 35.
Yes, we do.
Yes, there is an independent wrestling show straight from Dallas called VIP Wrestling. The third generations of the Von Erichs will be wrestling there. It is going to be awesome. There also the Dudley Boys will be there. You can visit VIP at ProWrestlingDallas.com. That's December 16th. That is going to be excellent. And also Wrestle Circus, which is a new indie promotion straight out of Austin, but it's a Texas-based promotion. They are amazing. They have some of the best talent out there.
All right, so is there any December movies we didn't talk about that you guys want to kind of wrap, kind of just bring it full circle?
No, I needed that list.
Because, you know, we talked about
Silence.
Office
we got before talk about the silence.
Movie. Yeah, Silence.
I want to see Silence. Live by Night, I want to see that.
Live by Night's good.
I think Fences.
Fences.
The Denzel Washington directed movie.
It's an acting powerhouse.
There's one on that list that I wrote horror next to. Which one is it?
Abattoir? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it is a horror movie about like a haunted house that looks really scary.
Incarnate is horror.
So is Incarnate with Eckhart.
Oh, Passengers. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, Passengers is going to be good.
That's going to be great. And then Office Christmas Party is going to be the funny movie of the year. I think Jennifer Aniston coming in there. The trailer to me looks hilarious.
Is Why Him a holiday movie?
He comes home for the holidays to visit.
They meet him during the Christmas time.
Guess who comes to dinner, Christmas style.
Right. I think Why Him looks, it is very Guess Who. Like, it's very.
It's going to be a remake of My Dinner with Andre.
I think Solace looks good, but it doesn't necessarily have to come out this time of year.
I don't know what Solace is.
It's got Anthony Hopkins and Colin Farrell.
That's right. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
And it's a thriller. It's trying to track down the serial killer kind of thing. And he pulls in his old partner, a retired FBI agent, who is Anthony Hopkins. And he's a really good closer with these kind of cases and stuff because he's psychic, as it turns out. So is Colin Farrell. And it's two psychics on either side of the line trying to, you know.
But I'm like you, this feels like a March or April film.
Yeah, it's an any time of year film. It's just a good, it looks like a just a darn good, you know, thriller.
Yeah, and I'll do anything Abbie Cornish is in.
And I'm not going to lie, I enjoy watching Colin Farrell. Enjoy him.
He's good. In Bruges was just fantastic.
The Lobster?
Yeah, which is another film that came out this year that kind of just didn't get.
That's making my top 10.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it should. As far as creativity and just newness and uniqueness, that film was.
I enjoyed him in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Yeah, yeah. I could probably work really hard and trace it back and find something that ties
this is,
me to
this
Marlon
is the,
Brando.
But in the Harry Potter stories, this is the things that they've been talking about.
I know.
They talked about that. Now we're going to go back and see it.
Well, they should just focus on the minor details and like loosely connect it, but I don't want them to pull a Hobbit and really work towards trying to connect them.
Yeah.
Just like. There's mention of Grindelwald in the original Harry Potter films, and then he's in this one. That's about as far as it really needs to go.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's worth seeing on the big screen for sure. So,
yeah. Half of it's really, really good, which is the last half.
Yeah.
The first half is them creating their own problem.
Right. It is. Yeah. And there was so much that I was like, well, this could just have been avoided hugely. So, yeah. What's Frank and Lola? You put that on the list.
Oh, right. Which one is Frank and Lola?
Or did you just copy and paste everything from December?
No, I'm just trying to remember. Exciting.
And then Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah, Michael Shannon and Imogen Poots. Frank is a brooding Las Vegas chef who has always focused his energy and his culinary talents.
I like Michael Shannon.
Is Green Room going to be on any
of these? Oh, yeah, Matthew Ross directed it.
I really liked it, but it's not going to make a top 10.
Mm. It might still be shuffled down.
And Michael Fassbender in Assassin's Creed.
That looks really good.
I can't get into Assassin's Creed, but I love Michael Fassbender.
I think he looks the part, big time.
Yeah, and this goes back to something we talked about earlier. If Flight Between Oceans had come out now,
man,
would Alicia and Michael and be getting more attention?
Because they got nothing.
There's no buzz about
that
film.
I thought the movie was good.
It was solid.
I think they're getting a little robbed.
I think at least her.
Yeah.
I thought for sure after I watched that movie, I was like, oh, she'll definitely get a nomination. Mm-hmm. Now I don't. For supporting, I would think supporting.
Maybe the Golden Globes will pay attention.
Maybe.
I don't.
Or some of
the
other
Golden Globes seem to be more attuned to.
They have more category because they split it.
Right, but they seem to be more attuned to viewer's choice type stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a little bit more mainstream.
Do you think Eddie Murphy has a chance for Mr. Church?
No.
Not at all?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean,
did he deliver a horrible performance?
I haven't even seen it, but the fact that it's like nowhere on anybody's radar.
Yeah,
there was nothing.
I mean, it was a non-Eddie Murphy role, but it was nothing.
I think he did great in it. It's very cheesy and pulls the heartstrings too much on the nose, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would actually give her a supporting role more than I would Eddie.
I don't think we would ever see something like that happen, like with Shia LaBeouf, like him being very good in Man Down, but he won't ever get nominated because the movie sucks.
Yeah.
Same thing with Mr. Church.
Yeah, because it was just, I don't know. And so, people are going to forget about that. So I don't know. I don't know what else is on here. I would love for the Golden Globes to grab Rogue One. That'd be funny. Because nobody else is going to touch it.
I think their deadline.
It's not out of the question. I mean, Lord of the Rings won Best Picture at the Oscars. Why not a Star Wars movie?
Yeah. Well, it was the final. I think that trilogy was
because it was the final one.
Yeah, it's like here's a lifetime achievement award for movie making.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, still.
Hidden Figures is going to be one that everybody's kind of talking about.
I didn't see that one.
I think it has potential. I thought it was. It's very Disney feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels very Disney, but it was. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I like Disney movies. So.
Yeah. And did you like Patriots Day?
That looks good.
No.
Did it feel as long as the 2 hours?
It feels long, and I don't like movies that it got me so angry and uncomfortable. Like I just don't like movies where we have to rewatch. I know it has to happen. We have to rewatch these tragedies and reminder and stuff, but it's so like makes me uncomfortable and sad again. Yeah. But it just the whole time I was thinking like this is why Sully was made.
Right.
Like
right.
That's all I was thinking. Is like that's why we want to see a movie about like a tragedy that turned into like this heroic thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I guess at the end they're like, okay, but Boston fought and thank God they caught them when as quick as they did.
Right.
But again, it just kind of like put me like I was really depressed. Kind
yeah.
of,
and did they start shooting this as soon as it? Because it hadn't been that long ago. It seemed like they would have had it's to start like 4 years ago. Writing this. Has it been four?
It's been a while.
2013.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they use file footage of the bombing and stuff, or did they just recreate everything?
They recreate everything, but they did use some like shots of the actual news footage and stuff.
But not. I mean, we saw the bombs go off and stuff. Did they show?
They did.
When? Okay. So all right.
No, when they show.
I mean, I know they've got him looking. I hear something.
No,
stuff's
when they
going
do it,
on,
it's,
all this,
it's but, theirs. It's theirs. That okay. They did,
so. And then I guess the last movie I'm curious about what you guys think. And Preston, you saw Eyes of My Mother?
I haven't seen it yet.
So that just seems like that's something that would be right up your alley.
Yeah.
Do they keep him in a box?
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, have you watched it, Brian?
I have not. I have like the screener online. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's really good. It's just it's different.
Did that
it's
play
so
at
different.
Fantastic Fest or something?
Is it like a sci-fi?
No, it's a.
Do they keep them in a box? Is it something that's handed down generation to generation?
No, it's just a very transference of just from mother to daughter, but they do it in such a twisted way of just how
black and white, right?
Yeah, it's in black and white, and it's very. Very kind of slow, and she's very methodical in the way that she kind of carries things through, and it's very twisted and very dark.
In a twisted way, like she's going to teach her how to abuse people now.
I won't say too much, but not that you get taught that, but there's things that you pick up when you're young that you just carry on. Some of your demons keep coming, so yeah, it's interesting.
Sins of the mother.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, so yeah, that kind of wraps up our December show. Appreciate you guys coming, as always, hanging
Thank
out.
Thank you.
Bringing such insight. And over the next few weeks, it's going to be really exciting as more and more nominee lists come out. And I will say, I got to push the December 11th as Critics' Choice Awards, so be sure and tune into that Sunday night. TJ Miller is going to be hosting that for us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And the nominations just released this morning. You can check them out at Variety or IMDb.com if you want to. So any closing thoughts, closing comments?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Ryan, done?
December 1st.
Done?
Yeah.
All right. Another month in the bag. One more to go.
I can't believe it's already December.
2016 is in the
books. Yeah. All
right. Well, you guys have fun. Check us out. What's the place to find us, Brian?
Twitter is the Ent Answer, the ENT Answer, the Entertainment Answer on YouTube, and the Entertainment Answer on Facebook.
There you go. Check us
We're
out.
There.
We'll be back later.
You've been listening to The Entertainment Answer. For more information and for all of our social media links, follow us on Twitter at The Ent Answer, that's the ENT Answer, or on Facebook at The Entertainment Answer. We also want to say thank you to our special guests for joining us this week. They received very little, or actually nothing, in return, but hopefully they had lots of fun. So, until next time, this is The Entertainment Answer.